Jesus spent approximately 36 years, between 35 and 36 years, in what we would refer to as the flesh, in a human physical body like us, living as a human being and experiencing what his human children on this world experienced 2,000 years ago. And so the majority of the fourth section of the Urantia book is about that and his teachings. And so, and then he was crucified on April 7th. He was put on the cross around 9 in the morning, and he passed on at 3 in that afternoon. And so that was on the 7th, approximately 2,000 years ago of this month, April. Then he, what we would call resurrected from that body, and there's quite an explanation of that. He's in the tomb. The tomb has a huge stone in front of it. It's sealed, all of that, because the Jewish rulers who were behind crucifying him for various reasons that we won't get into, that but that are in the Urantia book, and the they collaborated with the Roman government to do this. So, and it explains, and the resurrection is basically him moving on from that body, that physical body, into the first level of the Urantia body. Now, after that, it's a story, in a way, of what Jesus goes through that shows us what we too, when we die in our physical bodies, what will happen to us. We too can be resurrected. And it might be sleep for a while. Depends on where you're at in your ascension process. But all humans that are have made the right decisions within God's great love and mercy will resurrect sometime. And they will resurrect into that first level of Urantia form, Urantia body, which most people aren't able to see. What he does, though, is that he is visible to certain people in this Urantia body. So that's what the resurrection is. Now, Christianity and the Bible don't have any of that. This is where the Urantia book comes in, and it's very interesting to read about it and to read exactly how that happened and what happened to that physical body, because it just disappeared. Now, our bodies have to decay, but Jesus didn't, and some of the celestial beings asked those in charge, can we accelerate that decaying process of the human body, the physical body, so that we don't want the master's body to go through that process? Can we accelerate it so that it's gone, just simply gone, completely gone? And so that's what happened. So then he spends, and again, Christianity and the Bible doesn't have this part. After his resurrection, he spends about 40 days here in the world in various Urantia forms and appears to people. And this is, he's showing the transition that happens to us too when we resurrect in a Urantia form. And that transition phase, which takes us much longer than it does Jesus. But the transition phase before we ascend into pure spirit. So his ascension into pure spirit happens 40 days after he's resurrected. And that's the wonderful gift of that information in the Urantia book. During this time, right after he resurrects from his body, there is a planetary resurrection which terminates what the Urantia book calls the Adamic or Adamic dispensation. So for all those who are sleeping since the time of Adam, they are resurrected at that time. And that's a planetary resurrection that, again, isn't mentioned. It might mention it briefly somewhere in the New Testament. I cannot recall. But also, there were other resurrections before that and have been since, special resurrections, they call them, that we don't know that much about, but of certain selected people. So at this time of this planetary resurrection, this is the first time that the archangel circuit is set up and operates. And so we have this archangel's circuit that is here, that is operating now on our world. And again, the Urantia book gives us much information about archangels and their role. They have multiple roles, but we're not going to get into that. I'm just going through some brief things. So we're told that his Urantia appearance is over 40 days, are the equivalent of the seven mansion world transition period of Urantia body changes. And so he makes 19 appearances in those 40 days, different Urantia appearances in his Urantia body. And during that, those 19 Urantia appearances, we're told that he appears to almost 1,000 people at different times. And how he appears to people is how God can appear to any of us, through human beings who are teaching about him, or through the ministry of the spirits, the threefold spirit, or whatever. Also, there's an indication of who he appears to first and everything, of part of his new gospel and teaching. So, of course, as we know, because I emphasize it a lot, is that his first appearance is to five women, not men, women. And it's to the women who come to the tomb and discover that the stone is rolled away and there's no body. And, of course, they're terrified, because they think the Roman soldiers have come and stolen it, and they're afraid the Roman soldiers are around there. But they see this silhouette of a figure, and the rising sun is behind it, so it's like a black silhouette, and it's very vague. But they hear him speak, but they're frightened. And the message to these five women, and Mary Magdalene is included in these five women, and I think two or three other women of the Women's Apostolic Corps, and then friends, close friends. But he says, "Go tell my apostles, I have risen as I have said I would." So they flee to go. They've got a mixture there. So they run to tell the apostles, who don't listen to him. But Mary Magdalene then is very disappointed, because the apostles are saying, "You guys are just women. You're hysterical. You know, women suffer from hysteria. They're more emotional, blah, blah, blah." So they don't listen to him. Why do they not? Even though they have just heard recently and over, Jesus told them, "I am going to die, but I'm going to resurrect and rise." But they don't want to hear that, you know, they didn't want to really believe that. And so that's caught in them. And then the idea that he would resurrect, their reason and logic comes in. And so it gets in the way of their faith. So Mary Magdalene is so disappointed that she goes back by herself near the tomb. And she hears Jesus, and he says, Mary, and he comforts her just for about 5 minutes. He only spent about 5 minutes, both of these first two appearances, but he comforts her, and he tells her again, go back and tell those stubborn apostles of mine that I have risen. And so the women, the other women, are going around trying to tell people, other people too. And so it's interesting how much Jesus valued women, that his first two appearances would be there because they happened to be the ones that showed up. But he chose to appear to them. Mary Magdalene was the leader of the Women's Apostolic Corps. And so it would be, you know, understandable that he would appear to her alone and give her some words also. So also this tells me, when you see the reaction of the males and the reaction of the females of the apostles, the women's apostles and the men's apostles, the difference of how men and women think and respond to things. And in the study of the frontal lobes of the brain, that is the big thing in these days, there's a, you know, a scientist, neuroscientists that are more progressive than the rest of the mainstream scientists. They see a difference in those two frontal lobes of the hemisphere, the left and right brain, or the left and right hemispheres and understanding. They see differences between male and female brains in human beings, in structure, in chemistry, and in functions, and the way the cognitive functions. So there is definitely a distinct difference between the male and female humans. And so you see it in a way of how these women and these men, these apostles who loved Jesus, responded to the news that he had risen. His third and fourth appearances then are to family and friends in Bethany, close biological family and friends. And he does meet by himself with his eldest brother, biological brother, to give some advice about caring for the family and that. Each time he meets, he always gives words of encouragement and repeats some of what his teachings and his religion's about, which challenges the mainstream dogma of the day. So his fifth appearance is to 25 women believers. And they've gathered, because by this time, many believers are gathering all over. Some of them have heard through the grapevine. They didn't have internet. There was no texting, but it's people running and telling and passing it on that way. But they're also, so many people are fearful and devastated by what happened to their master in the death. And so they gather together to say, what do we do now? So there's all, throughout the next several days, there's several people meeting about that. So that fifth appearance, there is these 25 women believers. Mary Magdalene is part of those women. And so she, we're told, the Ranch book tells us, out of those first five appearances, Mary Magdalene is present in four of them. Now, people have said, oh, he and, you know, Jesus and Mary Magdalene were lovers and everything. Well, that's all bullshit. That's not true at all. However, she was a key believer, female believer in Jesus' time and very close to him. But all the other stuff of trying to make it into a different type of relationship is falsehood. It cheapens it in a way, because she knew he was the Son of God. And so the relationship was a much higher one, more of a spiritual relationship. The sixth appearance was to 40 Greek believers. Now, that would be hard for the Jewish people, because they've always thought they were the chosen people. And they always struggled when Jesus went to Gentiles, that are non-Jews and would talk to them, because he always told his Jewish apostles, I'm not here just for, you know, the Hebrew people, that he was born into that too. I'm here for anyone who will believe. I am here for everyone, regardless of race, religion, creed, color, nationality, whatever. So he appeared the sixth time to 40 Greeks who were gathered together and were talking about, what are we going to do now that the master's gone? His seventh appearance was to a couple of brothers strolling along. They were shepherds. They were walking along. And one of them had heard of Jesus and was starting to think about and partially saying, hey, this guy's got some good things to say. The other one wasn't interested at all. But Jesus chose to appear to them. And they weren't staunch believers in him. They weren't members of his family. They weren't friends. They'd never met him. And they had no idea that he was, you know, they just thought the way he appeared in their mind, he was just some guy that joined them. But he gave them some teachings and encouragement. The eighth appearance was to Peter. Now, Peter became the leader of the apostles. And so he appears to Peter by himself, because Peter is heartbroken and very emotional and a mess. And he has separated himself in the garden from the other apostles just to pray and do whatever. So Jesus meets with Peter briefly, calms him down, comforts him, and tells him, you're going to be the leader of the apostles of spreading this word. Then the ninth appearance is, right after he talks with Peter, he appears to the 10 other apostles. Remember, Judas is gone. So, and he basically says, you guys, remember I told you this was going to happen? Hello, here I am. And he again encourages them and repeats many things that he had taught them and encouraged them. And then his 10th appearance is to Abner and Lazarus, who were gathered with 150 other believers. Now remember, Abner was the main follower of John the Baptist, who then came and started following Jesus. In the aftermath, after Jesus ascends, Abner has a lot of problems with some of the other apostles because of disagreement of their dogma and their understanding of what Jesus was teaching, which is so typically human. And then his 11th, so 150 people he appeared to. Then, and he had his 11th appearance is his second appearance to all 11 apostles. And you can read this in the Urantia book, what he says specifically to each each of these appearances. I'm not going into them. His 12th appearance is to Rodin. Remember Rodin, the Greek philosopher that never met Jesus when Jesus was in the flesh, but he met with a couple of Jesus apostles, and there's two papers that in the fourth section of the Urantia book that give the wonderful discussion, a lot of the gist of the discussion that Rodin had with these two apostles. And because Rodin had become a believer of the teachings. So Rodin was gathered in Alexandria with 80 believers, and Jesus appeared to them in Urantia form. So Rodin does get to meet Jesus in person, just not in the flesh, but in the Urantia form while on earth. Then the 13th is again, he appears again to 10 of his apostles. Simon Zelotes wasn't there that time. He was busy doing something else. But this was in Galilee. And this was a much longer time. He relaxed with them. They were by a large lake. They'd been fishing. You relaxed with them. They were making breakfast. Then he took them two by two and spoke and would walk off, and he talked and ministered to the two apostles. He'd bring them back, take out two others. And so that's a very interesting thing to read if you want to read that. And that's in paper 192, sections 1 and 2. His 14th appearance again was to the 11 apostles at another time. And he met with them for about an hour, giving them instruction, reminding them of the main tenets he taught, etc. His 15th appearance was again to the apostles, and they were gathered with about 500 people. And Peter was up there. He's quite the orator, talking, because he was the main speaker, because he had the gift of gab and the gift of speaking and preaching. That's why he became the leader after Jesus' crucifixion. And this was at a lakeside gathering. And then his 16th appearance, again, that's later now, because this goes through April and May, was to the 11 apostles, is to a whole group of people. The 11 apostles, male apostles, the women's corps of apostles, and 50 other close associates and believers. And this was in Jerusalem. And guess what day this was on? And he gave quite a talk. May 5th. That's the one we're going to read today. But I want to finish about those others. The 17th appearance happened days later on May 13th. And guess who he appeared to? Nalda. Who remembers who Nalda is? She was the woman at the well, who was a loose woman, was looked down upon by her townspeople. She was a Samaritan. And she at first, Jesus met her first in flesh. He was a human man. And he came up to her, and she immediately started flirting with him. And he put her, you know, he straightened her out right away about what he was about. But by the time he was done with her, she had transformed and become a different person and became a follower of him. So she was meeting with 75 Samaritan believers near that same well, Jacob's well, that Jesus had encountered her first. And he gave them a wonderful talk. Gives me goosebumps, you know, to think about. Now, remember, the Samaritans were considered enemies of the Jewish people. So here he is appearing to Samaritans that are not part of the chosen people. His 18th appearance was in Tyre, which is in Phoenicia. It was to a group of believers, and I'm not sure how many there were, but he talks about and reiterates what the fruits of the Spirit are. And that they are to manifest those in their lives. And then his last appearance was on May 18th, his 19th appearance, and it was again to the 11 apostles, and it was at Mary Mark's house. Now, John Mark, you remember John Mark was the son of Mary and his father. His father had died of a brain tumor in between that time. And so it was at the Mark house that the Last Supper happened. We talked about the Last Supper earlier this morning. He met them again at that same place. It was the place that he last saw all of them gathered in the flesh. And again, it's at that same place where he sees them for a last time while on this earth, and he was in Marantia form. And so I love the synchronicity of that. During, in between these 19 appearances of 40 days, it spanned 40 days, he did meet with his celestial hosts from Salvington to talk about business as an administrator, you know, of his local universe. But anyway, then on May 18th, that same day that he met for the last time with the apostles, he took them up to Mount Olivet, which has much significance, spiritual significance to people of that area. And those 11 apostles witnessed then his ascension, where he leaves his Marantia body and goes into spirit form. He just is there. He gives them last words of encouragement, and then he's gone. And that happened about 7:45 in the morning. You know, these people got up early. You know, they didn't sleep in. They got up at the crack of dawn and were busy in those days. So what we're going to do is read about his 16th appearance, which happened on May 5th. I thought that would be interesting for two reasons, because it happens on May 5th, and May 5th is a significance to us. It's the time of purification and a gathering and unification of all peoples of the planet. But it's the day that he appears to all of his male apostles, his female apostles, and 50 other disciples that are very active in the movement. And it's in paper 193. It's the introduction. And it is on starts on page 2052.
Final appearances and ascension. The 16th Marantia manifestation of Jesus occurred on Friday, May 5th, in the courtyard of Nicodemus, about 9 o'clock at night. On this evening, the Jerusalem believers had made their first attempt to get together since the resurrection. Assembled here at this time were the 11 apostles, the women's corps, and their associates, and about 50 other leading disciples of the Master, including a number of the Greeks. This company of believers had been visiting informally for more than half an hour when suddenly the Marantia Master appeared in full view and immediately began to instruct them. Said Jesus, "Peace be upon you. This is the most representative group of believers, apostles, and disciples, both men and women, to which I have appeared since the time of my deliverance from the flesh. I now call you to witness that I told you beforehand that my sojourn among you must come to an end. I told you that presently I must return to the Father, and then I plainly told you how the chief priests and rulers of the Jews would deliver me up to be put to death, and that I would rise from the grave. Why then do you allow yourselves to become so disconcerted by all this when it came to pass? And why were you so surprised when I rose from the tomb on the third day? You failed to believe me because you heard my words without comprehending the meaning thereof. And now you should give ear to my words, lest you again make the mistake of hearing my teachings with the mind, while in your hearts you fail to comprehend the meaning. From the beginning of my sojourn as one of you, I taught you that my one purpose was to reveal my Father in heaven to his children on earth. I have lived the God-revealing bestowal that you might experience the God-knowing career. I revealed God as your Father in heaven. I revealed you as the sons of God on earth. It is a fact that God loves you, his sons. By faith in my word, this fact becomes an eternal and living truth in your hearts. When, by living faith, you become divinely God-conscious, you are then born of the Spirit as children of light and life. Even the eternal life wherewith you shall ascend the universe of universes and attain the experience of finding God the Father on paradise.
I admonish you ever to remember that your mission among men is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, the reality of the fatherhood of God, and the truth of the sonship of man. Proclaim the whole truth of the good news, not just a part of the saving gospel. Your message is not changed by my resurrection experience. Sonship with God by faith is still the saving truth of the gospel of the kingdom. You are to go forth preaching the love of God and the service of man. That which the world needs most to know is, men are the sons of God, and through faith they can actually realize and daily experience this ennobling truth. My bestowal should help all men to know that they are the children of God, but such knowledge will not suffice if they fail personally to faith grasp the saving truth that they are the living spirit sons of the eternal Father. The gospel of the kingdom is concerned with the love of the Father and the service of his children on earth. Among yourselves here, you share the knowledge that I have risen from the dead, but that is not strange. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. The Father gives such power to his paradise sons. You should the rather be stirred in your hearts by the knowledge that the dead of an age entered upon the eternal ascent soon after I left Joseph's new tomb. I lived my life in the flesh to show how you can, through loving service, become God-revealing to your fellow men, even as, by loving you and serving you, I have become God-revealing to you. I have lived among you as the Son of Man that you and all other men might know that you are indeed the sons of God. Therefore, go you now into all the world preaching this gospel of the kingdom of heaven to all men. Love all men as I have loved you. Serve your fellow mortals as I have served you. Freely you have received, freely give. Only tarry here in Jerusalem while I go to the Father, and until I send you the Spirit of truth. He shall lead you into the enlarged truth, and I will go with you into all the world. I am with you always, and my peace I leave with you. When the Master had spoken to them, he vanished from their sight. It was near daybreak, before these believers dispersed. All night they remained together, earnestly discussing the Master's admonitions and contemplating all that had befallen them. James, Zebedee, and others of the apostles also told them of their experiences with the Maranatha Master in Galilee and recited how he had three times appeared to them.
Over and over in these appearances, and even, you know, before he was crucified, when Jesus would talk about the kingdom of God, he would always emphasize that it wasn't a physical manifestation, that it was not of this world. And, of course, it would mean also the kingdom of God in the world beyond, that when people pass on, that they go into, you know, the mansion worlds, which is part of the kingdom of God. But he also, what does that mean to people that are living daily here in our bodies and dealing with all the stuff we deal with as human beings and our messiness, is that the kingdom of God can be established within us. It's not of the what we call the third dimension, the dominant culture. It's a reality within each one of us as individuals. And then when we come together and share that as all these different groups of believers that he appeared to in his Maranatha form were coming together because they shared an understanding that was beyond the understanding of most people in the world. They were sharing their faith and their belief. And so then with that is like a union of souls or a gathering of kindred spirits, a sense of spiritual community coming together. And there's something really wonderful that happens in the energetic field that sets up for that. And so that is the kingdom of God also. So you can carry it within you, in your inner life, and then you can create it in dynamics, psychological dynamics between each other. And also we're told that the fragment of the Father, the thought adjusters within us, when we come together in that union of souls, the thought adjusters, our thought adjusters come together and form community. They come together too. And so there's a strengthening. So it's not just 50 believers coming together. Would that energetic field of that union of souls and the union of the thought adjusters, everything, the Deo power, the godly power where God can work and manifest through, is much more than 50 people. So it could be 100 people. It could be the equivalent. You know, when you bring together quality people, people who are qualified to be used by God more because they're more purified, they have the Spirit, you know, the fruits of the Spirit in them, or whatever it is, it equals, it's much more than just 50 people getting together. And that's why when people come here and they visited other communities around the world and the country, and they'll say this feels different, it's because we're different. We're not just a community, because we've come together with the foundation and the union of a spiritual understanding, a union of souls. And we've been many of us have been together before. Starseed. And so a lot of this popularity that Solyndra was sharing about Starseed in the 3D now, it's the word, it's the new meme that's appeared. They don't understand really at the level that continuing fifth epical revelation reveals. But so we have created an energetic field. And the more stabilized we are on the third and above psychic circles, the more Deo power we can create. Now, that's cosmic mathematics, I guess you could say. So, anyway, he talks about that, so that the kingdom of God is built then in an energetic field of a combination of high-qualified individual souls, humans coming together, united with celestial beings. And so it's quite amazing. He also told them, this group of people, about the dispensation. He mentions the planetary dispensation. And he had talked about dispensation before he was arrested and crucified in some of his teachings, that these planetary dispensations happened and that it would happen with him. Of course, he reminded me, why are you guys so agitated? You knew this was, I told you this would all happen, you know? And then he again reiterates that the Spirit of Truth would come. After he ascends, he will send his Spirit of Truth. And there's some wonderful teachings about the Spirit of Truth, which we have read in the Urantia book. So he also pointed out in that second paragraph here, this is the most representative group of believers, apostles and disciples, both men and women. And then I would go on to say both Hebrew and Gentiles, because there were some Greeks mixed there. So it's a combination of a group of people that usually would be divided before his teachings. You know, Jews never mixed with those nasty Gentiles, etc., etc. Men and women were very divided in their roles, and God loved men better than women, and men, you know, all of that. Well, he's broken down all of that, his teachings have. And so that's why he wants believers that represent every aspect of humanity that has found him. And that, too, then, is the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God can be manifested all, not only in individual hearts and minds, but all over the planet. when a group of believers come together who are genuine.